The southern terminal for the C&O Canal was originally planned for Little Falls because this is as far up the Potomac River an ocean-going ship could reach. The people of Georgetown, an established village already three-quarters of a century old, believed their town would turn to dust if a new entrepot appeared at Little Falls. They eventually convinced planners to extend the canal a further 2.5 miles downstream, directly into the heart of their village. A warehouse district already existed here, along the waterfront, and the canal was ushered into town on the hillside just above it. Most of the canal bed was carved out of bedrock along this route, a passage that would have otherwise evolved into Niagara Street. Four locks, each only a block apart, were constructed to lower boats into Rock Creek, and the creek itself was dammed at the mouth to create a head of water sufficient to float the boats out onto the Potomac. A land rush ensued, since the arrival of the canal suddenly made the land on either side of it extremely valuable. More warehouses appeared, and then factories, many of which depended on water from the canal to power their machinery. By the late 19th century, flour mills, iron foundries, a paper mill, a fertilizer plant, several ice factories, a coal gasification plant, numerous machine and repair shops, a feed mill, trolley barns, coal, lumber, and sand and gravel yards, stables, and numerous other businesses crowded the industrial district surrounding the canal from just below M Street all the way down to the wharves. We can imagine what it was like approaching Georgetown on the C&O Canal in the 1870s. Traffic on the canal was at its peak, with over 500 freighters jostling for position along the route. The lock tender at Lock 5 checks our waybill for accuracy. 125 tons of soft coal from George's Creek, then waves us through past the inlet lock. It's another 5 miles to Georgetown. The scenery is still rather plain this far out, but then Fletcher's Cove comes into view. There has been human activity here for thousands of years, but now humans are milling flour at Abner Cloud's establishment. In the spring, fishermen crowd the shore as they net shad and herring. The spires of Georgetown College are coming into view now, so we're almost there. We pass the inclined plane, a complex of machinery that can slide a boat like ours down into the Potomac, if we should fancy that. We don't. It looks mighty dangerous.
You were very happy to get off. When we get to Washington, we'd tie up there at the wide water above the Aqueduct Bridge. We were just kids, and first thing we'd do is get down on M Street. There used to be a place down there, an ice cream parlor, and you could buy a banana split for a dime. There used to be moving pictures, 10 cents. You could go in and sit all evening, watch the show repeat. We used to like that. Sometimes when we went to Georgetown, we stayed on the boat until we got unloaded and then started back up. Sometimes you'd leave maybe the next day. And sometimes you'd lay around for a couple of days. Then we'd have a rest. Swim, go down to M Street and buy banana splits, swim some more. It wasn't too clean, but it was running water. I was just a small boy learning to swim.
Now it's time to unhitch the mule so they can pass under the canal at Foundry Branch Culvert and reappear on the other side. It has been this way since 1864, when Georgetown factory owners pleaded with the canal company to shift the towpath onto the berm side. It is said this removes an impediment to drawing water from the canal for the purpose of powering factory wheels. We get into line and tie up. The kids clamber up to Falls Road in search of ice cream or penny candy. We won't need them for a while. Slowly, as the day passes, we inch our way towards Lock 4.
That used to be what we looked forward to, going up on M Street, looking in all them windows. Most of them was old second-handed stores, but there were some clothing stores. There were furniture stores, but so many of the second-handed stores carried furniture. There were shoe stores. Oh, we were really tempted to buy those shoes. They were pretty. We went to movies in Georgetown. We had to go to the matinees. My daddy always said, "Don't wait until it gets dark." He never wanted us away at dark. He was always particular that way.
Big pay. 15 cents. That's what we got for a 184-mile trip. A big pay. Get a bottle of Coca-Cola Pop for 3 cents and a bag of peanuts for 2 cents and go to see the show. A nickel for the show. And we had a nickel left. Then we'd get a nickel's worth of peanuts, a big bag for a nickel, and come back and eat them on the boat. We'd sit on the boat and finish them up. We thought we had more money then than the President of the United States. And we made money down there in Georgetown, helping people at those big clubhouses. We'd help them put canoes in, help them clean canoes up, wash canoes. That money, too, we had for ourselves. We'd go back up the street to the stores to see what we could find. Bought that old licorice, old black licorice, in straps. You'd get two of them nearly a yard long. Then we'd smoke. Nobody didn't know it. We bought Duke's tobacco in a nickel bag. We used to buy Duke's and hide it on the boat. And we'd buy a big nickel box of barn burners, those big matches. We'd put matches in our hip pocket and take a sack of tobacco on the towpath. When we did that, we kept away from my daddy.
Finally, it's our turn. An empty ship is passing out of the lock, and we push ours in with rope and pole. The family of lock tenders here drop us down and down again through locks 3, 2, and 1. Then the mules pull us the last few hundred yards to the tide lock, where a steam tug is waiting. It puts us into a gang of boats headed to the government coaling station at Indian Head. We relax and watch the sun go down. Others will shovel us out when we reach the head.
This series is produced by the C&O Canal Trust in partnership with the C&O Canal National Historical Park. For information about the Trust and about this series, visit www.canaltrust.org.